Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Hebrews chapter 13 is our passage. And I want to focus on that first verse there. It's a little small verse, but boy, it's loaded with some powerful, powerful truth. This is the first time that the book of Hebrews is beginning to talk about practical Christian living. Now, what I mean when I say that is, how are we supposed to act as believers? Since all this other is true, how do we live our lives? How do we go through our weeks, our months, our years as believers? What is our Christian life to be like? And the writer here says in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Said simply, we're to love each other. We're to love each other. I've used this expression here before, and you've chuckled before when you've heard it. And the reason you chuckle when you hear this is because you know it's true. I've heard this phrase often. To dwell above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, that's another story. Right? And we chuckle because we know that's true. And we know that one of the greatest indictments against especially the local Baptist church is our business meetings. Our reputation precedes us. I can't count the number of times that business meetings have led to church splits and people moving next door to build another church. Folks, that's not the way God wants us to do evangelism or church planting. We're not to plant churches because of church splits. God has another method involved. And what we're going to talk about today supposedly, hopefully, will prevent that from ever happening here at Glendale. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is we just need to love each other. But it gets a little deeper than that. Because our love for each other has a great meaning. A very serious meaning. In fact, I want us to look at three reasons given clearly in the Bible why Christians are to love each other. And I want you to leave here with those three reasons etched in your mind. And the result of this later on, when you may have the tendency to want to disagree with a fellow believer in Christ to the point that you no longer associate with each other, maybe this will have a bearing on that. I pray it does. There are three reasons why we're supposed to love each other. And number one is it reveals to unbelievers, it reveals to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter 13, just a moment. John chapter 13. Look in verse 34 and verse 35. Now, there are many of us who put some heavy confidence in the words of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Those little words written in red. Now, they're not any more inspired of God than the words written in black. But those of us who traffic in Bible teaching, sometimes we kind of gravitate to those words written in red, because this is what Jesus said. And in our mind, that makes it pretty heavy. That makes it pretty weighty. It makes it pretty important. But this is what he said. Look in verse 34. He said, "A new commandment I give to you." Here it is. Watch. "That you love one another." And we say, "Well, how, Lord, are we to love each other?" He finishes it. He says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." How are we supposed to love each other? With the same kind of love that Jesus Christ had for us. That love that motivated him to go to the cross of Calvary and die in our place. That love that motivated him to give his life. That's the kind of love that we're to have for each other. It's interesting, there are three words for love in the New Testament. Really four, but there are three important ones. One is the Greek word eros. It's where we get the word erotic. And that's talking about a sensual love. And we all know about that. And then there's the word phileo. Phileo. And that's kind of a brotherly love. That's where we get the word Philadelphia from that. Phileo adelphos. A brotherly love, or a love, you know, that we're to have for brothers. A brotherly love in a family. That's what it's talking about. A family kind of love, where we love each other in our physical families. We love our children. We love our spouse. We love our kinfolks. We love our mother-in-law. But that's not the kind of love he's talking about here. There's a third category. It's the Greek word agapao, or agape. It's this kind of love. That love is a sacrificial love. That's a love when you don't expect any kind of return for your love. You love in spite of. You don't love because of. It's an unconditional love. It's a love without requirements. That's exactly the kind of love that Jesus Christ had for us. It's a love without ever hoping that I'm going to be loved in return. That's the kind of love it is. That's the kind of love that we are to have for each other. Now, why is that important? Well, look down in verse 35 and we'll find out. Here it is. Watch this. Words of Jesus Christ, verse 35. "By this," that is this love, "all will know that you are my" what? "Disciples. If you have love for one another." That is, the unbelieving world will recognize who you are because of your love for each other. You know why? They don't love each other that way. There's the contrast. They don't love each other like that. Believers have a unique kind of love for each other. A tremendous sacrificial love for each other. Look in Titus chapter 2 just a moment. Titus chapter 2. Look in verses 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes here that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now look in verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain" what? "Good works." These things are good and profitable to whom? to men. When unbelievers, here's the point of this, when unbelievers see how we love each other, that becomes an illustration of how God loved us. When unbelievers see how we treat each other, that is a tremendous example of how the Lord Jesus Christ treated us when he went to the cross and died in our place. In other words, we are being a testimony. We are being living witnesses for Christ. Someone said this, the only sermon that some people are going to believe is the sermon they see in our lives. Did you hear that? We are living advertisements. Those of us who claim to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're set apart. We become an illustration of what it means to be a believer. And here's the point of all this. If an unbeliever likes what they see in us happening right here in this little body, if they like what's going on here, if they're impressed with how we love each other, if that just smacks them in the face that we care for each other, then when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, when they hear the facts, that weighs in their mind. That motivates them. You know, they've got something there. They've got something that's real and genuine. And so when we talk about to them how God loved us and he sent Jesus to die for us, they say, boy, it works in your life. It really works in your church. It's changed your life. You know, it's amazing. They know who we are. They know how difficult we are to get along with sometimes. And yet, when we come together as the body of Christ, we get along. We submit ourselves. We don't want our way. We don't want our rights. We consider the rights of others. And I've always been impressed with this in the Word of God. It was said of the early Christians, the early disciples of Jesus Christ, unbelievers were saying this about them, see how they love one another. I've often wondered, how do they see it? You can't see love. Love is abstract. It's an emotion. But they're saying, see how they love one another. Well, you know what they were seeing? They were watching them serve one another. They were watching them meet each other's needs. They showed affection for one another. They didn't have a need. If they had a need, they all had a need. One had a need, they all had a need. And they worked together as a team, as the body of Christ. That's exactly what we're to do. Why? Because unbelievers are watching. That's the first reason given why we should love one another. Now back in Hebrews, let's go back. Let brotherly love continue. Second reason, our love for each other reveals to us our true identity as Christians. It lets us know that we have the genuine article. You know why I know I'm a believer? Because God mysteriously gives me a love for you. And I know who I am, and I know sometimes I'm hard to live with. And I know sometimes you're hard to live with. Don't look at me like that. But we live with each other and we love each other. And when we come together as the body of Christ, we think about the other person. And we're able to set aside all of our little weaknesses and all of our little inconsistencies. Our sin natures, we can set them aside. And the times that we're bitter toward each other, we can forgive quickly. Why? Because we have the genuine article inside. We have been born of God. We have been regenerated. We have God's life inside of us. So we have that tendency to want to treat others the way Jesus Christ treated us. That's what I'm saying. So it tells us who we are. Look at 1 John. We just have gone through this on Wednesday night. 1 John chapter 3, look in verse 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. I want you to realize when I do this that I'm not making this up. Those of us get conditioned to hear 3 points from a Baptist preacher and we're thinking, well, that's his opinion. That's his idea. I've got different ideas. But here at Glendale, what we're focusing in on is what the Bible says, not what your preacher has to say. So what I'm saying is, our love for each other is an indicator that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we're truly saved, that we're truly born again. We didn't make some false profession of faith back there. We were truly saved. Now look in verse 14 of 1 John 3. John says, look at it carefully, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love what? Is that what it says? That's what it says. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's a supernatural thing to love each other. Did you know that? And I know some of you feel that way about me. You say, boy, it's a supernatural thing that I love you, preacher. That's a God thing that I love you. No, it's a God thing that we love each other. That's a God thing. That we care for each other is a God thing. That's what I want you to see. And never get beyond that. And if we will see that, we won't be splitting and going next door and building another church. We'll work through our problems here. We'll work through our disagreements. Does this mean we always get along? One of the greatest things that's happened to me in 5 years is I've not had a serious conflict with my men. Now, we've had problems. We all have problems. But we work through the problems. We don't get mad and go home. We work through them. And when we do that, everybody wins. The body of Christ wins. And the deacons are thought of. They're revered. These guys work together. And they get the job done. And miracle of miracles, they can even work with that preacher. Look at what John says next. We know that we have passed from life to death because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in what? I mean, that's plain to me. He says it two ways, so we can't miss it. One of the reasons I know that I'm regenerate is I love you. Unconditionally. And one of the reasons I know that you're a born-again child of God is you love me in return. I love that. And it's a deep love. It's a commitment. It's like a marriage. You're committed. Warts and all. So here we have it, back in Hebrews. It reveals to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ, first of all. Secondly, it reveals our true identity as believers. And finally, God, listen to this now, God delights in our love and in our unity. God, that's the one that we worship. That's why we're here. He delights in our unity. Look in Psalm 133. Look in verse 1. Probably the third person I'm going to talk to when I get into heaven. First, I want to see the Lord Jesus, obviously. Secondly, I want to see Paul, because I've spent my whole life studying that guy, those 13 letters that he wrote. I want to see that little Jew with the long nose. That's how I picture him. But then I want to see David. I want to go find David, because he and I have a lot of things in common. We love music. He loved music. I want to see him. I want to see that 23rd Psalm guy. Well, he wrote this, and notice what he said. Notice what God the Holy Spirit put into his mind to pen centuries ago for us today to prevent us from splitting. Right here, watch. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? To dwell together in unity." There it is. David would say it like this, how sweet it is that we love each other and that we're unified, that we come together as the body of Christ, that we love each other. We care for each other. That's what this means. We help each other. We live in harmony with each other. 1 John chapter 3. I should have kept you there a while ago. 1 John chapter 3. Let's put it all together. Look in verse 16. He says, John says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." That is, that's the greatest illustration of love on the planet. You can't get any better than that. God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. That's how much he loved the world. He loved the world so much that he became one of his creatures. And he went to the cross of Calvary and he died. What kind of love would it take for God, the one who created this whole universe, to do that? That's the greatest illustration of love on the planet. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Keep on, let's go in. And we also ought to lay down our lives for whom? The brethren. Man, boy, that shouts to me. Does that mean I'm to be concerned for your welfare? Does that mean I'm my brother's keeper? Does that mean I can enjoy fellowship with you? Does that mean we can enjoy each other's company, just sit around and talk, share? Mark, is that what that means? We can talk about hunting, fishing. Every once in a while we'll bring up something in the Word, share about Christ. Just enjoy being together. That's what that means. And does that mean if somebody has a need in the body, we all have the what? We all have that need. We assume that need. Because we're a body. Boy, if there's one thing that I can hope that I've taught you in the 5 years that I've been here, is we are a body. We belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore we belong to each other. We don't live together isolated. We are one body in Christ. Different, yes. Different gifts, yes. Different roles to play, yes. But when the chips are down, we belong to each other. And you know what? Don't tell anybody this, but I'm proud of you. And when I go out and I visit with these pastors, I'm proud of my flock. I'm proud of Glendale. I thank God for First Baptist and for all that's going on over there and for Emmanuel and all that's happening there. But this is where my heart is, right here. And I want them to put your best face forward. You know, my feeling is you can talk about me all you want, but you're not talking about my people. Those are my people. That's the body that God called me to. That delights the heart of God. That we love each other, that we dwell together in unity. You know, it's like he just enjoys that. That believers actually live together in unity. But keep in mind these things as you leave today. If there's ever a tendency to want to split, find another church, find a better environment, you're not going to find it. This is right here. Let's war through it right here. Let's finish it right here. Let's go to be with Jesus Christ together right here. working together as a team. We can do that. And we will accomplish glorifying Jesus Christ if we do to other people. Pretty painless, isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love to us expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, not only did you tell us you loved us, but you demonstrated your love in that you took on a body. In order to die, you took on a body so that you could come into this world and pay our sin debt. The debt that we owed you, that we could never pay, you paid in our place. And you offer to those who will trust you eternal life and the privilege, Father, to be called children of God. If they will trust you by faith, they can be saved. And Father, I pray that as a church, we would realize that we're living advertisements for Christ. We're sending a message every day to others. They're watching us. And Father, I pray that they would say of Glendale, see how they love one another. And secondly, Father, I pray that we would understand this is how we know that we truly know you, is that we have love for the brethren. And that we delight the heart of God when we dwell together in unity. What a picture. What a precious picture it is. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.